Almighty God, we do just pray that you would open your word to us this morning. Speak to us, we pray. Guide me as I speak, that what I say will be your words and not my own thoughts or ideas. And we pray this in your name. Amen. So the sardine run has come and gone by the looks of it. Yesterday we had the privilege of witnessing a large pod of dolphins come right past us as we sat on the beach enjoying a cup of coffee. But humans have been fishing since, well, all of recorded history. They've always fished for food in one form or another. Perhaps it was the wooden spear. They would stand in the water and wait for the fish to swim past them and then stab the fish with a wooden spear. Perhaps in more recent times, it was the hook and the line that they would hang off a boat or cast out to sea. But I think perhaps the most prolific way of catching fish is not with a hook, is not with a spear, but is with a net. And in the time of Jesus, when Jesus walked on the face of this earth, Galilee was a hive of fishermen. Really, it was Lake Galilee was a fishing area. And there were many boats on the water. There were many fishermen that lived off the lake. They would go out most evenings. They would come in. They would catch fish. And then they would sell them in the local markets. And of course, the best and most effective way of catching a shoal of fish for these fishermen in Lake Galilee was to throw out a net. And we do read of some of Jesus' disciples who were fishermen. And in fact, when Jesus calls his disciples, some of them are repairing their nets. So this is exactly what Jesus is alluding to now here in this parable. In fact, I think he's making two points in this parable. The first point, which you will see on the screen there, is who will we be? The second point, which we'll get to in a few moments, is what will we do? So let's get stuck in and let's see what Jesus is saying here. Now, I don't know if you've noticed, as we've been working through Matthew 13 over the past 5 or so weeks, that on 5 separate occasions, Jesus begins his parables, with the exception of the first parable. He begins the parables, if you just have a look there, verse 24, the parable of the weeds. Jesus told them another parable, the kingdom of heaven is like. In verse 31, he told them another parable, the kingdom of heaven is like, in this case, a mustard seed. In verse 33, he says, the kingdom of heaven is like yeast. And then in verse 36, that's the explanation. In verse 44, which Tony dealt with last week, the kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hidden. And in verse 45, again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant. Now, Jesus begins one final parable on what the kingdom of heaven is like. In this parable, he says, the kingdom of heaven is like a net. Now, an interesting picture of the kingdom of heaven. We would think a net is a weird picture. But in the way that Jesus uses this analogy here, he shows us that a net has a purpose, and the net's purpose is to contain fish into an area in the water. The net allows the fish to be caught, but the water and the smaller fish to escape. Now, the description here is not of a little cast net, as you will sometimes see the guys in the shallows of the beach or perhaps at the river here, throwing out a little cast net which has sinkers all around it, and you throw it out and it sort of sinks and forms a ball over the fish. But the description here that Jesus is speaking about is what we would know today as a drag net. You know how a drag net works. It has floats on the top of it, so that the top of the net is on the surface of the water, and it has sinkers at the bottom of it, so that the bottom of the net is hanging really low down, and depending on the depth of the ocean floor, sometimes even scrapes the bottom of the ocean floor. And this net I've witnessed being used in the last number of weeks when the sardines were coming in, that the fishermen would use that kind of net. Floats on top, sinkers at the bottom, with a long sort of funnel that would chase the fish into it so that they would then pull them in. That's the kind of net that I think Jesus is speaking about here. It's a net where you fasten one end to the beach, or perhaps to a second boat. You go round the shoal of fish with the other boat, and then you bring it to shore and you pull the net in. So as you pull the net in, you contain the fish and they cannot escape. That's the idea that Jesus is trying to get to us with this parable of the net. The kingdom of heaven is like a net that has been cast out and is now gathering all the people together. We continue reading this parable. Verse 49, Jesus explains and says that the net is the end of the age. That is to say that the net is the time that Jesus is coming back into the world to judge the world. We've come across this many times. In fact, in Jesus' parable of the weeds, he speaks of the end of the time where he will judge the wicked and the good. And Jesus tells us that like a dragnet which takes all the fish indiscriminately, so the judgment of the world will be. In this big net that comes, no one will escape from the net of God's judgment. But notice two things about this net as Jesus explains here in the parable, that the net is only pulled into shore when two things are happening. First, the net is full. Now we can take that in two ways, and I think the right way to take that is that the net is full with those that God has chosen. Of course, there's others in there as well, and we'll get to that in a moment. But the fullness there means all the fullness of God's kingdom is wrapped up. When all the people that God has elected and called have become Christians. That, I think, is part of the reasoning what he says when the net is full. But of course, as we notice secondly, that this net includes both good fish and bad fish. Verse 48 tells us that as the fishermen pull the net to shore, they sit down, they collect the good fish into baskets and throw the bad fish away. Now that is not rotten fish as you would pick rotten fruit off a tree, but rather it is fish that are unsuitable for eating. So, many of you will know that there's often a shoal of fish that come ahead of the sardines. They call red eyes. They look similar to sardines, and to the unsuspecting fish buyer, they might be flogged off as sardines. But those fish, they called red eyes because they have red eyes, because they are really just a blood fish. They taste revolting. They can only really be used to feed other fish with. That's the kind of fish that Jesus is speaking about here. A useless fish that won't be used for anything. I remember paddling on the Knysna Lagoon when I was a youngster, and we had a tiny, you know, those little plastic nets that you buy at the beach and the kids play with in the rock pools. We had one of those and we just fastened it to the canoe and we dragged it behind the boat. And next minute, we realized we caught one of those little puffer fish. Now, it was fine. It was in the net. It was a small little fish. The moment we pulled the net out the water, it went poof and it expanded like big. And it was quite amazing, but you can't do anything with those fish. So we threw the fish back. And Jesus is saying, at the judgment of the world, a net is going to be cast over the entire world. All of God's people will be in that net, but so will every other person. No one will escape from that net. And that is when Jesus then begins his judgment. And we read here in verse 49 or 48 that the fishermen pulled the net ashore and sought the fish out. Jesus tells us a little bit later on in the parable that he says in verse 49 that the angels will come and separate the wicked from the good. Now, this separation of the wicked and the good is not determined by whether I've done more good things than bad things, whether I am better than so-and-so down the road, but rather if I am righteous as opposed to being wicked. Let me just explain here very quickly what I mean by that. The righteous that Jesus speaks about are those who have accepted their frail state of sin. In other words, we've recognized that we are sinners. We've recognized that we have disobeyed God. And then we have turned to God and asked Him to forgive us, handing our lives over to Him and following Him. Those are the righteous or the good fish, to use the analogy of this parable. It's not those who've fed the poor, as good as that might be. It's not those who are always been honest and never told a lie, as great as that is. It's not those who've never killed somebody, or never raped somebody, or never had dirty thoughts about somebody. But it is those who recognize their sin, trust in Jesus' death on the cross, and then follow Him. Those are the good fish. People perhaps like you and me, if we know the Lord Jesus Christ, if we recognize our sinful nature and turn to Him for help. Those are the good fish. And they are collected into baskets, and then they have value. They are sold in the market. Now, we're not going to push the parable too far and say, well, the fish aren't in their natural environment, because that's not what the parable's talking about. But it's talking about how God sees value in those who are righteous and will use them for His glory. And we know from the Bible that, of course, is to live with Him in the new heavens and the new earth. But notice here also that the wicked are thrown not just back into the water, they are thrown into the lake in the parable. But Jesus, when he explains the parable in verse 50, he says they are thrown into the fiery furnace. Or perhaps another way of saying it is they are thrown into the lake, but the lake of fire. Now the wicked there, as I've said, are not those who are serial murderers or serial rapists or people like that. But the wicked is anybody who has failed to accept their own sinful state and failed to accept Jesus. No matter how good you might be. And I know, friends, that there are many who sit in churches these days who think that because they are good people, that God will accept them. But unless you have turned to the Lord Jesus Christ, unless you have confessed your sins to Him and accepted what He has to say and what He has done for you and live your life for Him, you will be like one of these bad fish that will be thrown into the lake of fire. In a similar way, the parable of the weeds in verses 24 to 30 of the same chapter speaks of the separation and judgment of this world. And yes, I know, friends, that's not a popular topic and a popular thought today. Our society says that we need to tolerate all people. Our society says that all people are equal, and I would agree with that. But they also say that all people are basically good. The only reason they've done bad is because of bad influences from outside them. But Jesus says, you are good only because of what he has done for us on the cross, and you are bad if you do not accept that. Only those who follow Jesus will be saved eternally. The rest will face an eternity of suffering and complete and total heartache. In fact, the reference here, as we saw in verse 30, in the parable of the weeds, is exactly the same, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Have you ever done something that after you've done it, you said, why on earth did I do that? And you're beating yourself up because you did something and it's now caused further consequences. That's almost the idea that we have here. You realize that you should have turned to Jesus, and now you're kicking yourself because you didn't, because now you are facing eternal suffering, eternalness in the lake of fire. Jesus asks the question as he teaches this parable, who will we be when the judgment of this world comes? Will we be the good fish, or will we be the bad fish? Will we be the righteous who serve the Lord and are therefore kept aside because we are valuable? Or will we be the wicked who are rejected by God? That's the question that all of us need to ask today. It's that question of then, one day, who will we be? But Jesus asks a second question here, and this is really just in chatting with his disciples, and this is my second point this morning. What will we do now? So knowing this about Jesus, knowing that the judgment of the world is coming at the end of time, whenever that might be, what are we as Christians to do now? Well, Jesus, having just finished talking to his disciples about the kingdom of heaven, in all these parables, he asks them, verse 51, do you understand? Now, every time I've asked questions like that to groups of people, they generally always say, yeah. Because, well, whether you understand or not, you know what it's like when you're teaching a class, maybe teachers here, you teach the kids, do you all follow what I'm saying? And everyone goes, yes, miss. And then 5 minutes later, they come, man, I don't understand this. And you've just explained it to them. One wonders if that was the disciples' response. But be that as it may, Jesus then tells them perhaps another very short parable in verse 52. Therefore, every teacher of the law who has been instructed about the kingdom of heaven is like the owner of a house who brings out of his storeroom new treasures as well as old. So what's that all about? What is Jesus saying? And I think there's a couple of things that we need to understand about this verse. Firstly, that the teacher of the law here, which we have come to know as a Jewish leader in the temple or in a synagogue, who often has a negative connotation about them because they're always accusing Jesus and so on, that is not the teacher of the law that Jesus is speaking about here. How do I know that? Well, if you have a look at verse 52, he says, every teacher of the law who has had something done, been instructed, and notice this, in the kingdom or about the kingdom of heaven. So this teacher of the law is not those Pharisees and those Jewish leaders that wanted nothing to do with Jesus. This teacher of the law is the person who has heard what Jesus has had to say about the kingdom of heaven. In other words, in all these parables that we've just looked at in chapter 13. The parable of the sower, where people respond to the message of God differently. He's told them that both the wicked and the good will live side by side in the parable of the weeds until judgment day. He's told them that the kingdom of heaven has small beginnings like a mustard seed and is often hidden like yeast is in bread dough. He's told us that the kingdom of heaven is valuable like treasure, and we need to sell everything to get that treasure. But he's also told us that the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant who gave up everything to get the valuable asset, which he then spoke about in the parable of the pearls. And now he's just told us that the kingdom of heaven will ensure that the righteous live and the wicked are punished. In other words, what Jesus is saying here is that the teacher of the law who's been instructed in the kingdom of heaven is everyone who has heard this teaching and taken it to heart. Jesus says this to his disciples. In other words, the teacher of the law here is Jesus' disciples. And I would go so far as to say that the teacher of the law there includes us, if we have made these words our own. And he says, with this in mind, if you are a teacher of the law, if you know the things of the kingdom of God, then Jesus says, share this treasure. And he uses the little analogy here of a homeowner who has both new and old treasures in his home and who wants to show them off. You ever been to someone's home before, and perhaps it's the first time you go in there, and you walk into their home and you see something on the mantelpiece as you walk in, or on the sideboard, and you say, wow, that's interesting, what is that? And then you get the whole description of that came from my great-grandmother's mother who did this and whatever else. We have an old clock standing on our piano that apparently, as we have been told, came from my father's grandfather. So you work out how many generations ago that is. But it's an old treasure that we display. But then we also have new treasures, don't we? Things that we are important, or that we consider important. So I know with teenagers, the moment they get a new phone, everybody knows about it. Guys, got my new phone. Please send me your new contact details. And so that's the new treasure, or whatever it might be. And Jesus is saying, if we know what the kingdom of heaven is about, as he's just explained to us in these parables, then we need to show off those treasures, both new and old. And of course, that is a reference to the Old Testament traditions and teachings, as well as the New Testament traditions and teachings which we see in Jesus Christ. We mustn't neglect those treasures. If we know what Jesus has done for us, then why are we sitting on these treasures? Why are we hiding them? He's taught us that people respond differently to the gospel. But should that stop us from sharing the gospel? Should that stop us from sowing the seed? Of course, in that first parable, the parable of the sower, Jesus says, no, share the gospel indiscriminately with everybody. And it's not our problem as to how they respond. We must share the gospel. And we can use that by using the New Testament and by using the Old Testament. We know that God will judge the wicked and the righteous, which we've seen in two parables, the parable of the weeds and the parable of the net. And so part of our treasure, if you like, that we are to show people is the warning of God's judgment. God will bring an end to all the injustices of this world. And again, we can use the Old Testament and the New. God has taught us, Jesus has taught us, that God's kingdom starts small like a mustard seed. So we mustn't be intimidated because we're only a handful of people in a small community. We must continue to preach the gospel. And we also mustn't be scared, as Jesus has taught us. Even when people don't recognize us, we are like yeast in bread dough. Another example that Jesus used was salt. You don't put much salt in a recipe. I made scones the other evening. I think it was 2 cups of flour or something in it. And do you know how much salt I had to put in? A a pinch. That's how much salt is needed. That's how much yeast, in a sense, is needed in order to show the love of Christ in this world. And God says, if we know these things, share them. And again, God has taught us that being part of God's kingdom is more valuable than anything else in this world. And therefore, we should give everything up to follow Him and to be part of what He teaches. And knowing that God has seen us as so valuable, that He has given up His own life for us, we need to share that treasure with the world. So the questions that Jesus asks, what will we do now knowing what the kingdom of heaven is like as we wait for God to judge the world? Will we sit on it? Will we sit back and say, that's somebody else's problem. I'm just a Christian. I just come to church. But friends, do you hide all your prized possessions? Do you put some on show? Do you ever talk about them? That's how we should talk about the gospel of the Lord Jesus as well. So Jesus, two questions to us this morning. Who will we be at the end of the world? The good fish or the bad fish? And if we are the good fish, what are we to do now? We are to preach the message of the gospel. Well, let's pray. Lord Jesus, as we come before you this morning, we thank you for your word. We thank you for teaching us through these parables about the kingdom of heaven. And Lord, how you will deal with the righteous and the unrighteous one day. But Lord, we pray that we would not just sit on that information. We pray that we would be like the homeowner who brings out of his storeroom new treasures as well as old, that we might speak your message to those of our world. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.